It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And I do appreciate all of you. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And did I just say that? I can't remember where I was exactly. What got me off here, Steve, is I put down that today was Wednesday, but it's actually Tuesday.
Just so it's not Monday, you go ahead and do that, but just don't make two Mondays in a row.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into the show here. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking about election integrity here in Colorado in the second segment. And then Tara Ross, who is an expert on the Electoral College. In fact, she did Prager University video on the Electoral College, and the last time I talked with her, it was the most watched PragerU video out there, and he's got a lot of really good ones. And so we're going to talk about the founders and the framers and what they thought about elections, because we see the Democrats in Washington are trying to federalize, that means make it nationwide, our elections, and the founders really left it up to the state. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation, a very important conversation, Steve.
I heard it described this morning in various sound bites as a Trojan horse, what they're doing in Washington right now. Is it H.R. 1?
H.R. 1, yeah.
What they call it, for the people, all this grandiose verbiage that they throw at it. But there are a lot of dangers here. And
a lot of dangers.
States' rights, going up against the feds. It's going to be interesting.
Right. And basically, well, we'll talk with Tara about it. But the founders gave the federal government certain limited powers. And everything else, if you look at the 10th Amendment, goes to the states and the people. So let's remember that. They knew this. They knew this was really important. I wanted to mention something on Saturday. Sergeant Donald DeLoy Stoddard, United States Marine Corps, World War II, survived the battles of Guadalcanal, only to be killed in action at the battles in Tarawa on November 22, 1943. He was buried there with many others. His remains were identified in April of 2020, and he is coming home to his final resting place on Wednesday. He has one nephew, but they're not sure that he'll be able to attend. And the services are this Saturday, June 26th at 10 a.m. at Mountain View Memorial Park, 3016 Kalmia Avenue in Boulder. And if you can make it to pay your respects, that would be a really good thing. This young man gave his life fighting for our country, fighting against evil and tyranny, and it's the least we can do. At this point, I've got a commitment, and I don't think I'll be able to make it. If that changes for some reason, I will be there. I wanted to let you know about that. And a sponsor of both the shows, My America's Veteran Story Show, as well as this show, is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations: Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And the girls are coming over tomorrow night, Steve, so I'm going to get the smoked wings. They're half the calories, and I love them. They have all these different rubs and sauces on it, but the lemon rub is really, really good, and so I'm going to get that. Wednesday is actually for to-go and dine-in, our Wingsday, where you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. So go to my website and check out my sponsors tab. I highly recommend all of those sponsors there, and click on Hooters, and you'll get all their specials. They do have Kids Eat Free with the purchase of an adult entree on Saturdays as well. Let's see here. Let's jump into our quote for today. And I was looking for transparency quotes. And this is from Glenn Greenwald. And in 1996, he founded his own law firm, which concentrated on First Amendment litigation. He began blogging on national security issues in October 2005, while he was becoming increasingly concerned with what he viewed to be attacks on civil liberties by the George W. Bush administration in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks. He became a vocal critic of the Iraq War and has maintained a critical position of American foreign policy. He was born in 1966. This is what he said. Secrecy is the linchpin of abuse of power. It's enabling force. Transparency is the only real antidote. And we talked about it yesterday that Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold issued an executive rule stating that no third-party organizations could come in and look at our elections. So that means that basically the people can't come in, have somebody come in and take a look at whether or not we had any vulnerabilities here in Colorado. My friends, if there's no there, then why did Secretary of State Jenna Griswold issue that emergency rule? And we'll talk about that in the second segment. Regarding some of the news articles out there, first thing, let's get over here. We have received so much money from the federal government. And this is from the Colorado Sun. It says, Colorado's economy has recovered so quickly that the legislature will have to refund taxpayers under Tabor. Now, I'm not sure I would say that Colorado's economy is recovering really quickly. I don't really feel that. But there is a lot of money that has come to Colorado because I think Polis and this legislature has been a golden child of those back in Washington, D.C. So we've received a whole bunch of this money that has been printed and is taking basically from the next generation. Colorado's received a lot of that. And when our revenue, when we have more revenue and we have a very generous formula of population plus inflation, of course, now that inflation's really kicking in, that's going to be interesting, Steve. But we have this very, very, it's a formula that I think is very reasonable. But any of the revenue that comes in above that, basically, in order for the state to keep that, they have to ask us or they have to refund it. And so we should be looking at refunds. However, State Senator Dominic Marino, a Commerce City Democrat who chairs the Joint Budget Committee, asked legislative staff Friday whether there's still time for lawmakers to try to keep some of the excess revenue. Tabor requires the legislature to refund dollars the fiscal year after the cap is triggered. But once again, if they really are representing the people, wouldn't you want to try to get the money back to the people, Steve?
No, you're talking too much common sense here now. And you said this in the pre-calls, like, just watch them. And maybe that's our call to listeners, is like, keep your eyes open for attempts to get in there and grab some of this money before it needs to be refunded.
Yes, because and that is a problem, is that people look to government for the solution. And these people, this Dominic, Representative? State Senator Dominic Marino, is of that ilk where they think that government is the answer. Government needs to have that money. But government doesn't create anything. Government lives off of the production of everyday hardworking people. And so the idea that they don't want to refund excess revenue back to everyday hardworking Coloradans, I think, says a lot. And we need to remember this as we go to the voting booth in 2022. But that's also why we need to make sure that we have free and fair and clean elections here in Colorado. Steve.
You're raising a great point. I just come to the conclusion in thinking through this, to the number of people who are totally unaware of what's happening to their paycheck, that they just accept this. They just say, oh, that's just a foregone conclusion that I'm, you know, X amount or percentage of my paycheck is going to go to, you know, it's not to me. And you want to say, well, where is it going and how much of it is going? And they don't know.
Well, and that's why, really, I think if people didn't have all these payroll deductions off of their paycheck for taxes and Social Security and Medicare, and everybody had to write a check, each pay stub for those particular things, we would see, I think, a big shift in what is happening with elections and with our government, because people would realize actually how much is being taken from them.
Yeah, and I've been sitting here thinking, wow, if they had that dollar figure or approximate figure in their hands and looked at it, and don't get us wrong, it's like we're not saying that there shouldn't be any taxation. But we're also mindful of all the waste that's going on right now.
Right.
And then, like you said, with this money coming from the feds, these people down in you know, under the Golden Dome are tripping over themselves trying to find ways to spend it.
Right. And instead of refunding it back to the people, with the year that we've gone through, with so many people hurting, it seems like they would be tripping over themselves to get that money back to the people. A couple of other things. Very important to let you know that we had talked a little bit about this PAWS initiative that was potentially going to be on the ballot. And I got to find it here. Where do we have it exactly? I'm not finding it. I got too many things here. But anyway, basically the Supreme Court ruled against it, that it cannot, this particular initiative cannot be on the ballot because it violates the single subject rule that we have here in Colorado. They had a whole bunch of different ways that they were really going to hurt rural Colorado, get rid of rodeos, get rid of animal husbandry, get rid of dog shows, all kinds of things like that. And so that is not going to be on the ballot, but we need to watch this because this doesn't mean that this is going to stop. They are just going to go out and come up with some other way to attack rural Colorado. And when they attack rural Colorado, they're really attacking you at the grocery store. Because if they start to use mandates, rules, legislation, initiatives to limit the production of our food, my friends, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that your food supply will become more limited, the prices are going to go up, and many times the quality will go down. And it seems to me like our representatives, the people that we elect, we would want them to be doing things to make sure that everyday people can thrive and flourish. One other thing to mention is because of the extreme heat in California, this is from the Washington Post, it says that it is straining California's electrical grid. And once again, we are now seeing that these policies and things that have been put into place in California, in Texas, regarding wind and solar, it's not reliable. And so now we have extreme heat, and they're saying, don't use your air conditioning. What does that do to little ones? What does that do to our elderly? What does that do to the production, the ability for us to be able to produce, to work, if it's extreme heat? And this is really poor planning. It's poor public policy. And we see when we really look at like the Green New Deal, and these are not solutions. These are ways that they've used a narrative to try to take control of our lives. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got Holly Kaysen on the line. She's with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And I wanted to chat with her about Secretary of State Jenna Griswold's recent rule. I'm sure it'll be a very interesting conversation. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Holly Kaysen, and she is with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. And something rather remarkable happened last week. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold issued a rule. I'm not even sure. I wonder, how can she do that? But a rule saying that no third-party entities could look at our elections. Holly Kaysen, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am well. This is remarkable what Jenna Griswold did last week.
Oh, it certainly is. I think it is fair to say that there's panic running through the Griswold office in Colorado. The announcement is really indicative of, you know, what's to come in Colorado and how worried they are.
Worried about what, do you think, Holly?
I think a forensic style or a forensic audit in the style of the Arizona and Maricopa work that's going on now. There was a Colorado contingent that went down to Arizona recently, and I believe State Rep Ron Hanks was the only legislator from Colorado who had gone down to Arizona. And it turns out all the folks who went down to Arizona reported back saying it was an absolutely impressive operation. They were impressed with the security, the professionalism, the organization, just top to bottom. They couldn't say enough about how fantastic that audit was working. And, you know, Colorado, the folks who went from Colorado are not alone. There are quite a few other contingents that went from other states who have been saying the same thing.
So why, you said that the Griswold office is in a panic, I would agree with you. To come out with this kind of a rule, which I had former State Senator Kevin Lundberg on yesterday, and he is the executive director of the Republican Study Committee. And his question was, does she have the authority to do this? And from everything that he could tell, she does not. So I find that a very interesting move, and it was such a quick move to try to circumvent. And it seems to me, Holly, that 90% of the people out there, no matter if they're Democrat or independent, Republican, conservative, libertarian, whatever, I think almost everybody out there wants to make sure that we have free and fair elections. So this is this move by Griswold is very concerning.
Right. Well, one of the other things that's happening in Colorado that folks may not know about is Dominion and Sec State Griswold are now updating all of the voting machines. Supposedly for the elections in November. However, they have not given any public notification to whether or not there's public oversight for these updates. Now, the problem with that is that there may be a concern about preserving all data and all evidence associated with elections, which means it's more than just the tallies and the counts that are generated from the voting machines. I'm talking about saving the type of data that is on the hardware level, the things that you can't see, things like machine logs, monitoring whether or not you're able to tell whether or not the remote modems were turned on or off during the election, to see whether or not to see who had access to these machines. Now, Griswold and the county clerks in Colorado have not given public notification. However, there was an email that was leaked about a week and a half ago with a schedule for all of these updates for the county clerks. And once the public got a hold of that, they started contacting the county clerks and recorders. It could be that this is one of the reasons why Jenna Griswold came out of nowhere saying, you know, hey, nobody can touch our election equipment. No third parties.
Okay, so over on the county clerk's side, my understanding is former county clerk of Arapahoe County, Matt Crane, is now the, I think, the executive director of the Statewide County Clerks Association. Are we seeing him putting any pressure on Griswold to make sure that we can preserve this hardware stuff so that we can take a look at it?
No, in fact, it's quite the opposite. Matt Crane is in lockstep with Griswold. There was an article, I think, that came out maybe 2 or 3 days ago in the Colorado Sun talking about this exact topic. And Crane believes nothing happened with the election. All the Dominion machines are great. And in fact, I think he's 100% right alongside Jenna Griswold on this.
It's remarkable because he's a Republican. So this is a bipartisan effort to make sure that we don't have a chance to take a look at the elections, which I find super, super curious. What do you think is going to happen right now, Holly?
Well, I think, first of all, Griswold's notification will probably be challenged in court. I mean, I would guess that some group or entity somewhere will pick this issue up and say, hey, you know, this is not legal. I've even heard from Democrats that they don't believe that this would stand up in court either. So it's not as if she's got 100% support on one side and not the other. So I think that'll be challenged. Secondly, I do think that citizens, because they're reaching out to their county clerks about these Dominion updates, are starting to really put some pressure on the county clerks, causing them to think whether or not they want to go ahead with these, you know, procedural updates without really understanding what's going on with the technology.
Do you think that they're updating these machines as Griswold has issued this rule? Are they continuing to update, or can there be a stay on that at this particular point in time? Or is it up to the citizens to reach out to their county clerks? What should people do?
Yes, citizens should reach out to their county clerks and recorders and start asking questions about what this update is all about. We know that there have been 17 counties that have been updated in May, and the updates continue. What's been strange is that when citizens go to their county clerks and ask whether or not the update and modifications, actually, of the machines have happened in their county, we've been given strange answers, to say the least. Definitely not upfront, definitely not completely accurate. So that's one thing to do, and I do think that there is, room for citizens to ask for a delay on the updates, because Elbert County did get a delay for updating their machines. However, it was not predicated on the questioning the software and hardware modifications. It was due to COVID restrictions and the fact that Elbert County did not want to comply with the COVID mandates that Griswold and her office had suggested happened during the machine modifications.
Interesting. Talking about Dominion, 62 of the 64 counties in Colorado have the Dominion machines. And Holly, this is a big question. I'm looking back, it's like, how on earth did we have Dominion machines in so many different states, 62 counties here in Colorado. How did this happen? How did we get so many Dominion machines throughout the country?
That's a good question. I have a feeling that, you know, there was some sort of a concerted effort somewhere out there to place these machines in certain counties and states. I don't know. I would love to know that answer. But we do know that Brian Kemp down in Georgia bought millions of dollars worth of Dominion machines in 2019. Wayne Williams ushered in Dominion on a large scale here in Colorado. Katie Hobbs was the person behind getting Dominion in Maricopa County. You know, it has to do with the people, it seems like. The machines didn't place themselves.
And one other thing regarding Matt Crane, my understanding is he had a family member that worked for Dominion for a number of years. Is that correct?
Yes, his wife worked for Dominion for many years, and he failed to disclose that. Now, in subsequent articles or when he gets asked about this, he says, oh, it's old news. Everybody knew that back in the day. But that's not exactly true. People did not know that, and it was not disclosed.
The county clerk is so important, and these are elected positions as well. And so I would recommend each of you, actually, Douglas and Garfield County do not have the Dominion machines. Even them, do you see vulnerabilities there? It seems more like the counties with Dominion is where people should be contacting their county clerks, yes?
Douglas and Garfield have clear ballot machines, and those deserve scrutiny as well, because what we discovered somewhat recently is that Jenna Griswold, has certified elections on all electronic voting machines that were not properly certified by a federal testing lab. And that is breaking Colorado state law. And it raises a number of questions as to whether or not the elections run on these machines in Colorado are actually legitimate.
Interesting. Okay, so marching orders today for folks are to reach out to their county clerk, ask them to delay doing this this update on the voting machines. And one other thing, I thought I heard when I was talking with somebody on this whole thing that federal law says that I think for like 25 months, this evidence is not to be destroyed, or in this way, if they update it, it could be destroying evidence. Is that correct, Holly?
Yes, that's what I was talking about at the very beginning of the interview. It's not just the tallies and the software records of the election that we're looking to have the records preserved. It's the hardware data. And that's that really important information that comes from the machines that tells us what components in the machine were used, if there were, modems turned on or turned off, if there were people accessing voter logs, all that sort of thing within the machine. And, the argument from people who aren't for free and fair elections will say, oh, that information doesn't matter. That doesn't count as a record.
Oh, you think? Well, Holly Kaysen, you and your fellow volunteers at the U.S. Election Integrity Plan are doing amazing work. If we don't have free and fair and truthful elections, we don't have a country. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Oh, you're welcome. And just to let your listeners know, I just posted a story on this very topic detailing all of this information that we just covered in the interview. And it creates a much more cohesive picture than what we once thought was happening in our Colorado elections.
Okay. And where can people get that, Holly?
at my blog, which is www.hollyataltitude.com.
That's www.hollyataltitude.com.
That's right.
Okay, and we'll put that in the show recap as well. So that's www.hollyataltitude.com. Holly Kaysen, thanks so much. Keep us in the loop.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, Tara Ross is an expert on the Electoral College. She's also an expert on the founders, the framers, what they meant for our country. And she says that our elections really are with the states, with the state legislatures. And so we'll talk with her about that with this big move in Washington to try to federalize our elections. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And I really appreciate each and every one of you who contribute. And to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And the founders really understood force, government force, and they wanted to make sure that it was limited. And they came up with this remarkable plan of the three branches of government and states' rights, or state sovereignty, I should say, instead of states' rights. And an expert on all of this is Tara Ross, and she did a Prager University video on the Electoral College, and it was and may still be the most watched Prager University video out there. Tara Ross, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Is it still number one over there? They're doing a lot of great work.
Yeah, it's well over 60 million views by now.
Wow.
And I think it's pretty far ahead of the others.
Well, we've learned a lot about the Electoral College over this last year. A lot of people that didn't understand it have learned a lot about it. But now what is happening, Tara, is rather remarkable. And that is, and we're seeing it not only on the issue of elections, we're seeing it on single-family zoning, which is a local issue, where those back in Washington, this administration and Congress, are trying to federalize things that they were never supposed to do. And federalize means that the federal government will take it over. And so with this H.R. 1, this Voting Rights Act, and then this, I think it's the H.R. 4, which was also regarding voting, we're seeing that they're trying to federalize our elections. It's not supposed to be like that, is it, Tara?
No, it's the complete opposite of what it's supposed to be. I mean, the founders looked at history, and they knew how dangerous it is to centralize power in the hands of a single entity. And they strove to do something completely different than that. The heart of our election system, especially our presidential election system, is that each state has its own set of responsibilities. Each state is completely responsible for itself. The founders assumed that people would be subject to, you know, the enticements of power, right? Like they would be greedy and ambitious, and they would be liable to abuse power. James Madison said, all power in human hands is liable to be abused. And so they looked at that. They said the only way you can combat this is to set, again, James Madison said, ambition against ambition. You assume that people are going to be bad. You assume that people are going to abuse their power. And but then you put those people against each other. You know, you say, well, this greedy person is going to be trying to outdo that greedy person. And so in the end, they'll be butting heads all the time. And as they butt heads, it ends up protecting your liberty because nobody is ever able to have enough power to abuse the system completely. And so in our election systems, nothing is supposed to be centralized in Washington, D.C. Everything is supposed to be spread out, and each state is supposed to be responsible for itself.
Right, and spreading things out actually disseminates much of that power. You just said something really interesting, Tara, and that is comparing the time of the founding to now. You said that James Madison said that they figured that people are greedy, they would want power, and that is human nature. But somehow, when I'm talking with people explaining what's going on, I get this question, well, why would they do that? There's this assumption now that those in government are working for people's well-being. And how did we get from the founders understanding human nature to 2021, where so many people think that government is for their well-being? How did that happen?
I honestly have no idea. I think part of it's lack of education, just not understanding how the system works to begin with, right? And why we have the protections that we do. I don't know. I think sometimes a big scary event comes along like 9/11, and there's just an inclination like you want something big that will take care of you because it can be scary and it can be overwhelming, but it's the opposite of where we should be. And you know, the founders, when they looked at it, it wasn't just that they didn't trust government, by the way. It was that they didn't trust anybody at all. Like, they literally did not trust a single soul. They knew that, including themselves, right? Like, they knew that humans are susceptible to all of these bad motivations, and they knew that power corrupts. And so they set up protections against everybody. Sometimes when people talk about the founders, they say, well, they were just a group of elitist, white old men who thought that the people couldn't be trusted. It misses the point entirely. The founders did not trust anybody at all. They didn't trust the state government. They didn't trust the federal government. They didn't trust the president. They didn't trust the Congress. They didn't trust the judges. They literally didn't trust anybody. They didn't trust the people, but they didn't trust government officials either. Carol Burkin is a historian, and she says of that time, the founders were sitting in the Constitutional Convention, the men most likely to be the first set of United States senators, and of course the first president was sitting there, and they were so convinced that humans are fallible and can't be trusted that they sat there and debated how to put restrictions essentially on themselves, right? They knew they would be the officials, and they didn't trust themselves to handle the power well either. They literally did not trust a single soul. The crux of our whole system is checks and balances, separation of powers, and never, ever trusting anybody with too much power.
Well, and let's talk about the individuals. I've always thought that it was so unique, the value of the individual that we see in the United States of America, and instead of the collective. And that's one of the big battles that we have going on right now in America is this narrative of the collective versus the individual. And so this is a kind of an epic battle of ideas that's going on in our time now, Tara.
Sure. I mean, part of the problem with what you're describing is I think it seems like we always need to have a one-size-fits-all narrative, right? Like you in Colorado and me in Texas or just whatever, name your issue. Like you have to believe the same set. You have to go with the same plan. Like we've looked at our COVID response, right? Like you're not allowed to say that maybe you can treat high risk versus low risk people differently. Let's lock down everybody, you know? And so it's just, again, our system is this delicate balance of like you balance all these competing interests, you spread power around. Part of that is giving individuals power over their own lives instead of trusting a government official with it. And it's who we are.
So I know you're not watching the day-to-day on what's happening in Washington on this voting stuff, but what would your comments be to people out there with this narrative that we need to make voting easier, that this is racist? What would your comments be to people on that?
Well, you know, it's so somebody, what, in the federal government is going to decide that a certain policy is the definition of this is how we make voting easier? No, these are policy decisions. These people are going to disagree. People are going to have different feelings about mail-in voting or how much time you get to early vote or voter ID. I mean, whatever these issues are, these are policy issues. There's no black and white on what's better or worse. And in that scenario, it is emphatically not the responsibility of the federal government to make decisions about that. It is emphatically the state's province to make those kinds of decisions for those citizens and to decide what will serve the state best. And the truth is that probably different states will have different considerations. Our states are different sizes, you know, have different numbers of big cities versus small cities or whatever. And each state just needs to make its own decision. And that's the way it is.
I was with a friend yesterday. And so Colorado is at the tip of the spear on many of these issues here. Where it seems that we are the petri dish right now. And I think it's partly because of our demographics. We have a big rural part of the state, but then the metro area can actually carry elections. And it has really changed things. And Colorado was one of the first to have mail-in ballots. And I was with my friend. She said, Kim, I have to tell you, I really like the mail-in ballot. She said it because I can sit there. I actually, for the last few election cycles, have gone through and done a voter's guide on all of the issues out there, looking at it from what I think the Constitution, the founders envisioned for our country and how it matched up with the Declaration. She said, I really like sitting down and being able to do my ballot like that. And I said, what you could have done is you could have asked for an absentee ballot. And she said, well, I didn't ask for an absentee ballot because I wasn't going to be absent. But this way I don't have to stand in line. And I really think that this mail-in ballot is where we have the potential for shenanigans going on. And so if Colorado decides to do that, then we need to figure it out here in Colorado. But to have the federal government federalize that and have mail-in ballots throughout the country, that is not the role of the federal government. It's a state by state, and we in this state need to work in our state to get our elections so that we know that they are free and they're fair and they're clean. Your thought on that, Tara, before we go to break?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, maybe one thing to remember about the balance of federal versus state power in this context, you know, we tend to think the federal government has any power that, you know, unless the Constitution specifically stops it, like people think that the federal government can do it. It's actually the opposite. The federal government has to look for a specific grant of power. Like the Constitution has to give the federal government power, otherwise we assume it stays with the state. And when it came to elections, Alexander Hamilton assumed, he wrote of this, and he said the state will always be the first stop when it comes to elections. And the only reason that he thought the federal government should have any power at all in elections is because he thought the federal government would need to protect itself from the, he thought, very powerful state governments. He thought the state governments would be so powerful that they would threaten not to hold congressional elections at all so as to deprive Congress of power by just not sending anybody there. And so he thought that was the function of the federal government's power. It was like an emergency stopgap power to protect itself from the states. Well, that is a far cry from now the federal government dictating every aspect of elections to us, what kind of ballots we may or may not use, how long we may or may not vote, how we may or may not get on the ballot. You know, I mean, it is so at odds with everything the founders set up that it's just hard to fathom, really. And so I hope, you know, when you talk to mail your congressman or email your congressman, call your congressman, whatever, and tell them this is emphatically not your place to bully the states around and to tell the states what they may and may not do. It is the state's decision, period.
And it is. And we should keep government as local as possible. And I submit to you the most local government is ourselves. But we want it as local as possible. But yet there are some things that, for example, things that are in the Bill of Rights, in the Constitution, those things, freedom of speech, that should be all over the country. Our Second Amendment rights should be all over the country. So there's a few things that should be for everyone, but then as everything else, I think, should go to the states and keep it as local as possible. Tara Ross is on the line with me. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado, is one of our great sponsors of both of my shows. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And I actually, Steve and I were out there, and Steve's wife, Delinda, for their beer brats and blades, which was this last Saturday for Dad Appreciation Day. And I bought a gift there. Very excited about that. Excited to give that gift. But check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Tara Ross.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And force is power. Power, and if force is used, socialism ultimately comes down to force. And that is why the founders knew that we needed to have power throughout the government and not have any one entity have all the power, because power, government can come down to force, and the opposite of force is freedom. So Tara, the founders understood this, and we have, I think, again, you mentioned education. We have a lot of people out there that kind of have a Pollyanna view of government, but over the last year, with the COVID-19, Wuhan, China virus, reaction, disruption, closing down businesses, restricting people's lives, we've seen that government ultimately can be very forceful, and they took away people's livelihoods over this. So we certainly want to keep this power disseminated out through a whole bunch of different arenas instead of centralized with the government, Tara.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's worse than that. It's not just that government took away freedoms. It's that in many cases, a single individual sitting in a governor's mansion took away freedom. And that's not okay. I mean, we don't have kings and queens in this country. It's astonishing to me, honestly, that looking at the events of the past year, I kind of don't understand it. There is no single individual in this country that can do that. Period. And there's no emergency power big enough to upend our Constitution and to pretend like none of this is real. And it's shocking to me that state legislatures across this country, why are they not pushing back harder? You know, I don't understand it. And I think part of it is that legislators have become maybe a little bit lazy, and they don't want the responsibility for, you know, making certain decisions, and it's easier just to delegate things away and, you know, not have to. It's kind of like the opposite of the buck stops here, right? Like, mm-hmm. they just don't want to be responsible. But it's disrupting everything, and it is going to be really dangerous if it hasn't been already, and we have to put a stop to it. This is not okay.
Well, here in Colorado, Tara, Governor Polis issued over 400 executive orders, which is mind-boggling. And when you mention we don't have kings and queens, this is how a king acts. And that's not, we don't have kings and queens here in America. And we still are under an emergency order out here all these months later. And he has to renew that order on a regular basis. And one has to ask, what basis does he have for this emergency order? But the other thing you mentioned, Tara, is we now have a fourth branch of government, and that is the administrative state. And I think it's, you mentioned that it might be because elected representatives don't want to take the responsibility or do the hard work to make the tough decisions and talk with their constituents about why. Instead, they make decisions, they push it off over to the bureaucrats in the administrative state that are insulated from the voter. They're unaccountable, they're unelectable, they make fat salaries, have pensions, and it's difficult to get rid of them. I know people talk about term limits. I'd be interested to see what you think about term limits, because I really don't think we should have term limits. What do you think?
You know, I mean, honestly, I probably do personally prefer them. I understand the arguments against it, and I mean, the arguments against it are that the lobbyists and so forth would end up being the ones that know how things operate, and they'd end up with all the power that we thought we took away from legislatures. Really, that's the argument I've heard.
Right.
And I get it, but I feel like so many people have lost perspective and have been in office for so long, and everybody looks at the situation and they think that their own incumbent is the one that's like somehow, you know, exempt from this problem. And I just don't agree. I think at some point everybody needs to go. I think it's healthy to go back to live under the laws that you made. And so, you know, I do understand the arguments for just, you know, letting it be as it is, but I personally prefer to have them.
Okay. What about this bureaucratic, this administrative state that is this fourth branch of government? I think the founders were concerned about something like this. Did they ever imagine that we would have this big, big thing out there?
I doubt it, but you know who warned against it was Calvin Coolidge. He thought that the administrative state was a potential big danger. Look, I think we've seen what a big danger it is this year. There are lots of people, I think, that wanted to buck executive orders and wanted to take some of these actions and saw that it was dangerous and saw that, you know, one person should not have this much power. But the administrative state would crack down on everybody, right? You dare to do anything wrong and they'll take your license away, or they'll fine you for this, or they'll, you know, whatever it is. And it made it much, much more difficult. And you know, again, I think we need to personally think we need to look at everybody who's in office, all of them, even the ones you like, and just think about whether they've been there for too long and whether they're still doing what they set out to do. But once we get, you know, kind of clean out some of these offices, we need to expect, in my view, it's to reduce the size of the administrative state so we can be free, you know, so that we can make our own path and decide what risk we are and aren't willing to take for ourselves. Because this is not a decision for one person in the governor's mansion, aided and abetted by his pals in the administrative state.
Tara, we have maybe about 4 minutes left. We are at a historical time in America. And I believe we're in a big battle of ideas, not unlike we've faced before with the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, our founding. And we need to step up, but it's almost like it's a harder battle because it's a battle of ideas. What's your thoughts on this, Tara?
Well, I think you're right, and I think the problem is that it's disguised as a battle over COVID, right? And I'm not trying to make light of COVID. You know, don't hear me. Anybody's listening, don't hear me do that.
Okay.
I know that COVID could be very, very serious. But at the end of the day, there are individual considerations and individual priorities and things that need to be, you know, each family is going to make its own decision and have different considerations. And really, that is at the heart of self-governance and of knowing, of being able to trust your representatives, trust your form of government to protect your right to be free and to make these decisions for yourself and to have, and so, you know, I'm really concerned looking at everything we're looking at with people pretending like government can protect them from anything and everything if you just defer enough or something, or even worse, assuming that one person in the governor's mansion can do this for you and can pick out the expert you're allowed to believe and that will be the corner on the truth and you can do it this way and you'll be fine. No, that's not who we are. We are a self-governing people with independent thought, critical thinking, and the ability to make our own decisions for ourselves and our family. And we need to straighten that out and remember who we are, or I don't know who we'll be in a couple of years.
Well, we really are. We are at a time in history, and we'll look back at this to see how we, the American people, stepped up on this. Are you optimistic, or what's your thoughts?
Oh, I want to be optimistic, but I'm a little scared, honestly, because I honestly don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that I can get out and I can talk until I'm out of breath about who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do, how America is, how America always has been, and how this past year has been a complete aberration in that regard. And we need to go back to who we are.
Well, Tara Ross, I totally agree. And that's why we do this show, to help people get their brains around these issues so that they can converse with their friends, their family, their colleagues, and their neighbors in this epic battle of ideas that is raging there. And you've done an enormous amount of work regarding this. And I would recommend that people, if they've not been one of those 60 million views of your Prager University video on the Electoral College, I would highly recommend that they become one of those viewers, Tara Ross. Any final thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
No, if you Google it, Google the specific title of the video, or you might not find it.
Okay, and
Do
what
You
is
Understand
that?
The Electoral College? Do You Understand the Electoral College by PragerU?
Okay.
And I hope it's helpful.
Okay. Very good. Tara Ross, I so appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work. And my friends, definitely, we do need to be involved in this battle of ideas out there. Our quote for today is from Glenn Greenwald. He said, "The way things are supposed to work is that we're supposed to know virtually everything about what they, the government, do. That's why they call them public servants. They're supposed to know virtually nothing about what we do. That's why we're called private individuals." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising.